Fanboys Guide to the Galaxy podcast. The official podcast of GalacticVoyage.com. We talk about Star Wars.
Fanboy style.
You've taken your first step into a larger world.
Welcome to Fanboys Guide to the Galaxy, the official podcast of GalacticVoyage.com. I'm one of your hosts, Ryan Zasso, and with me is my co-host, Eric.
Hello there.
All right, and this week we'll be talking about the episode, The Ghosts of Mortis. And we've got a very special guest. He writes some of the music for High Adventure, or the lyrics anyways. It's Spencer Clennell. How are you?
I'm doing good, and thank you for pronouncing my last name right the first time.
No problem.
And if you're on Facebook and you have liked the Forcecast or Dave Filoni, you probably see a lot of his Facebook postings about the Clone Wars, and they're usually the most insightful things you can see on Facebook next to words from Dave Filoni himself. So I'm surprised this is the first time you've had Spencer on the show.
Yeah, I mean, Spencer, you'd like decode these episodes so like in depth and, you know, coming up with ideas that no one's even thought of.
Well, I try. It's just my own interpretations. Like, as far as I could tell, everybody has their own different interpretations of such things.
Right. Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's start out with our initial thoughts. So, going into this episode, I mean, this is the last episode in the Mortis trilogy. We know that. And we know that, you know, Ahsoka had a small problem with the dark side. And now the daughter is dead. So going into this episode, you know, what were you expecting? And did the final product, you know, did it meet your expectations, or did it end the way that you expected it to end?
Well, the thing is, I don't really try to keep such high expectations, because you know how that can lead to disappointments, but I am very pleased with, there were those few things that should have been expected, and they did deliver. I can give it that. Because we got to finally see, in my perspective anyway, how balance is achieved in the Force.
Mm-hmm. Eric, what were you going to say?
This arc has to be probably my favorite trilogy of all Clone Wars episodes yet, especially the finale. You know, it had everything. It had great dialogue, great animation, great music. I don't have like a single complaint at all, except that I wish there was more. And it was great seeing Qui-Gon again for the second time. I really loved the future sequence. Dark Side Anakin was really cool, but pretty short. And if you didn't feel sad during the ending, well, not always sad, but I guess melancholy is a better word. During the ending, I don't know what to say about you, except that your heart may be two sizes too small.
Yeah, this was a very, very dark episode. And
very bittersweet.
Yeah. I do sort of like the darker episodes. I mean, this one is a great example. I think this is the darkest episode, you know, we've had all season. Especially, you know, stuff with the ending, you know, how much darker does it get than the father, you know, essentially committing suicide and then betraying his son? I mean, that's pretty dark.
It was like Greek mythology, I thought, kind of like the Odyssey when, I guess, it wasn't only this part that reminded me of the Odyssey so much as it was the part when Anakin went to the Well of the Dark Side. That reminded me of the Land of the Dead from the Odyssey, where Odysseus met his dead mother, which reminded me of Shmi in Overlords. And the sun in the Well of the Dark Side reminded me of Tiresias and the way that he tells Anakin what he must do to avoid doom, but in the end there is no avoiding destiny.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking how this whole Mortis trilogy, in fact, seems to tie in with Greek mythology. Like, it's almost like mortals going in, going on to Mount Olympus, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's also very strange, you know, at the ending, you know, what, I don't want to get too much into the ending, but what was this? I mean, was this all a dream? Did this, was this actually a world, and where, how did they get back in their ship like nothing had happened? You know, just so many questions. I mean, what just happened over those three episodes?
I think it's open for interpretation. And I thought it was real, but on like a psychological level that all three of them experienced, because they all know that happened. It wasn't, unless it was like Inception and they all had the same dream, I don't think it was a dream or anything. I thought it really happened, just more in the mind than anything. I'm not sure. That's just my take on it.
In a way, it does feel kind of Star Trek when you bring that up. It's just the, when it's something with the mind, like some classic arc relating to a journey where everything turns out to be an illusion or some other thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you just know that this has a realism to it, because there's no doubt it's the Force is involved in all of that.
Yeah.
The father, he really reminded me of Anakin in a way that to bring balance to the Force, Anakin must destroy both sides, like the same way that the father, I guess he didn't really destroy the light side or anything, but all three of them kind of died. I guess the daughter kind of represented the Jedi in a way, and the son represented the Sith, and the father kind of represented Anakin. That's what I thought, anyways.
Hmm.
Yeah, you know, there's also that's obvious, the daughter is the light, the son is the dark, but yet, I think it's also the father is really the balance. Anyway, it's more along the, as I was saying, the father could be more the, like, the balance of the Force itself. And you know how they all died in the end? It just makes me wonder, like, how it relates to not just Revenge of the Sith, but also Return of the Jedi. With the, you know, like, Anakin commits suicide himself to save his son. Mm-hmm. And, like, and he takes his Sith title with him after killing the Emperor.
Yeah. It's interesting, you know, I always thought that it was destroying the Sith, but I guess, I mean, that's what the Jedi believed, you know, that to bring balance to the Force was to just destroy the Sith. But I guess maybe after seeing this arc, I could see why bringing balance to the Force could also mean, you know, the Jedi purge.
I had a feeling
Revenge of the Sith.
From ever since I saw Revenge of the Sith, I had a feeling that balance did come to the Force, but not in the way the Jedi expected.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it was intentional for the Jedi to become all but extinct. Because, you know, you end up with two Jedi and two Sith. It all becomes a more even-staked conflict.
Yeah.
It seems to me that this episode was foreshadowing of what was to come. I mean, we saw the events of episode 3. We even saw the destruction of Alderaan. So, this episode was
fantastic.
Yes, that was amazing. I know in the trailer we've seen the Revenge of the Sith parts, but nobody was expecting to see Alderaan being destroyed.
You know,
and,
it's funny. Like, was it really just me, or could you really hear the millions of voices from the Alderaanians, like, suddenly crying out in terror and suddenly be silenced?
Mm-hmm. And one thing I was thinking about was, did you guys notice how when Anakin said no and Darth Vader came in the background, his mask, he mimicked what he did in Revenge of the Sith at the end? You know, he bent his elbows and raised his arms. He said the exact same thing he said in at the end of Sith that everybody hated for some reason. I like that line, but...
Well, I don't know, maybe it was just the... You know, in a way it was like Frankenstein's monster. I mean, although what am I saying? You know, I love that part. But what I didn't like about it was him breaking the shackles off. That almost sounded rather okay. I personally didn't mind the way he walked. I mean, come on. That's brand new robotic legs for you.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah. I was saying how this episode felt like it was foreshadowing what was to come. I mean, it kind of felt like Return of the Jedi in a way, but in a kind of darker way, I guess, because the dark side was destroyed, but so was the Chosen One in a way. It seems to me that there is more than one Chosen One with each thousand generations. Like, it seems like the Father was a Chosen One who brought balance to the Force thousands of years ago, but his time was coming to an end, and it was Anakin's turn to take his place. But instead of staying on the planet, he took an alternate route, which was
the galaxy as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. It's like seeing how the ending, like, it's all revealed that basically it's just how the Force has its balance on that single planet, or I guess that world within the Vision.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's really all a Vision, in the least.
Right.
But it's just, well, I guess that's about it.
Yeah, it's kind of difficult to see how the balance on the balance of the Force on that planet would translate to the rest of the galaxy. I think it is kind of just like a vision. It's to show him what his role is and what he has to do.
Yeah, and
it was kind of like a vision for all of them. It made Obi-Wan more trusting of what Anakin, of who he truly is, and it made Ahsoka be wary of her master, and it made Anakin know what his destiny was.
Hmm.
No way.
Yeah.
What did you guys think of Darkseid Anakin this episode?
Well, I would say that really wasn't unnecessary, as some like to claim, because
I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, really, and you know, it really does illustrate something unto itself, because you know, like, Cave on Dagobah, and also, like, you know, all of this, really, is just, like, how he would react in such a situation. And it's very similar to what happens with the Emperor, with him and the Emperor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he receives premonitions, he receives a foresight to terrible events, and he wishes to prevent them. And to do so, he takes an extreme path.
It seems to me that Anakin really tries too hard to do the right thing, that he twists it into doing something bad.
Like, he becomes what he is meant to destroy.
Mm-hmm.
In either case, not just with the Sith, but also with the Son.
Even in the end, the Father says, the last words he says is, "Beware your heart." And Anakin's problem is that he tries to make everything right, but everything can't be right, and he gets frustrated when he can't do it and ends up killing Padme and ending up in that suit. So that's when he fully turns to the dark side, I guess.
Hmm. What did I think of dark side Anakin?
I think we saw that he would have ended up in either way. Like, I think it shows how inevitable his turn to the dark side would have been.
Right.
And yet, it also adds him more of a reflection to Luke. Because you know how at Luke's experiences on Dagobah, like in the cave, for instance, I mean, his reaction upon seeing the apparition of Darth Vader is fear and anger, and he strikes in vengeance, and you know, then Darth Vader's helmet blows up to reveal Luke's own face. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I think it shows that either way, the both of them had failed in some way or another.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but, oh my, now I don't know where this is going.
I think this episode kind of shows that there is no avoiding your destiny in a way. I mean, like I said before, it reminds me of the Odyssey. Anakin reminds me a lot of Odysseus in the way that both of them has to suffer before they can complete their destiny, and Luke is kind of like Telemachus in the way that he thinks that his father's dead. I know George drew a lot of out of Greek mythology, so I think he is kind of referencing Western fiction right now.
Now, well, you mentioned before that there's no escaping your destiny, but you know the father specifically said that you know nothing is set in stone, and I think Yoda says that too in Revenge of the Sith.
Train yourself to let go.
But how is Anakin going to change his future when he doesn't know what's going to happen anymore?
Yeah, always in motion is the future, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it did really confuse me too, but it seems like it's open for interpretation.
I guess so.
Yeah, it really is. I guess, you know, I'm sure we each have our own opinions on the matter.
The father tried to warn Anakin to beware of his heart and stuff, but Anakin, I guess he didn't listen to that. Because
in
Sith, we see him get ahead of himself and end up being the cause of Padme's death. Yeah. So ultimately, she did die in childbirth.
Hmm.
Oh, anyway, more on the father. You remember how I see Anakin in all three of those entities, but in the father, I also see old Ben. I know this isn't very deep right now, but is there like an interesting echo with like not to interfere? You remember how like old Ben's ghost was saying, "You have to face the dark side alone if that's your choice. I cannot interfere."
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, and yet you know here, Obi-Wan is telling the father, like, if I were not meant to interfere, then why am I here? It seems like, I think that illustrates that at this point he had a bit to learn himself.
Yeah.
Because you know this was at the point where he thought that he could train Anakin as well as Yoda, whatever, but he turned out to be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, that's a really interesting thought. I never noticed that till now that Obi-Wan said that line, and it kind of harkened back to the original trilogy.
Yeah, it's just like where he is as the starting out as a more experienced knight and then becoming an ultimate master. And, you know, speaking of Obi-Wan, I gotta say, like, you mentioned this really good dialogue in here. That was definitely Obi-Wan I was hearing. Like, you want the bad news or the really bad news? Let's try the bad news, laced with a little optimism.
I love Obi-Wan's deadpan humor, but the dialogue in these episodes were fantastic. I can't stress that enough. It's probably the best dialogue I've ever heard in Clone Wars.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Even among all the techno mumbo-jumbo of the
Ahsoka.
You know,
there is a few kind of cheesy lines, but for the most part, they're usually good. Like,
yeah.
The one cheesy line I can think of is in the first episode when Ahsoka said, "What in the universe was that?" But other than that, there wasn't too much cheese, but there was a lot of good dialogue, like from the son especially.
I don't really mind the cheese up to a certain level, really. I mean, it's Star Wars. It's all it's a fairy tale, really. That's what Kirsch and Lucas said.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of impressed with all the, the ship talk that Ahsoka was saying. You know, it's kind of cool to see how Anakin's, you know, knowledge of ships and ships and like starships are kind of like wearing off onto Ahsoka. And now she's kind of, you know, the same way with, you know, working with mechanics.
Yeah, you know, you remember the concept of the used universe that was said to have been given more its first large amount of notoriety with the first Star Wars. And it's like, in that universe, it's everybody has to know how to fix things if they're going to get around. And such knowledge has been around for millennia in that world. Mm-hmm. And You know, some people are rather confused to see how Ahsoka could know so much about the space travel technology. And, you know, we have seen in the Children of the Force episode with Cad Bane, mm-hmm. When she and Anakin were being rather attentive with his ship. And also, you know, this kind of harkens back to Empire, because, you know, Leia seemed to know what she was doing while helping Han fix up the Millennium Falcon. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the previous movie offered no hints of her having such knowledge.
But after spending 3 years in the Rebel Alliance, I'm sure you learn a lot. And Leia was part of the Alliance longer than 3 years, so I'm sure she had to know her stuff. And then you have Ahsoka, who's Anakin's apprentice, and Anakin is like the most tech-savvy Jedi there is, so...
And she's been his apprentice for at least over a year now, seeing the new looks and such.
Yeah. So I'm not surprised that she knows her stuff, but I was surprised that Anakin wasn't the one fixing the ship, you know, since he just loves fixing things.
Well, he does have a lot on his mind, obviously, at this
point. That's what I was about to say.
Yeah. You remember how Overlord's like, he decides to leave, and now he's just, I don't think I should leave without the Father saying, giving me his blessing.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, I looked up, seems that some people feel they more comfortable with just Overlords. But yet, you know, I just don't really see why that can be, because, I mean, what does killing the Emperor have to do with becoming a monk in the Twilight Zone? Honestly, there had to be a lot more than just, you know, than that.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, if there's balance, it obviously has to come with destruction, in a way, like, well, yeah, that was the mindset when I first saw Overlords, really, like, okay, there's got to be a lot more to this.
Yeah.
But, man, I feel so satisfied.
Yeah.
Just love it.
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed that there's no more of these type of episodes anymore. I loved it so much, but this week's looks amazing, too. I mean, this one, the last 3 weeks we've had a new Star Wars, I guess, but this week it seems like we're going to be harkening back to the original trilogy.
Yeah, that's something more along the essence that I guess the prequels had more or less a grasp on, but not as much.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm often amazed at how if George Lucas had these kind of stories ideas in his docket for all these years, it makes one wonder why he did not incorporate them in the films. Like, for instance, the Morris trilogy feels very much like that would be the Empire Strikes Back equivalent if it were the second movie of the prequel trilogy, or he could have made four of them, but who knows. But this Morris trilogy is very important. It really does provide illustration that I just, you know, I've been so confused about. It's just what is so real about Balance of the Force, and what's the deal with Anakin's role as the Chosen One? And now we finally get to see a glimpse of that. With this mysterious planet providing the example.
Like I said before, I think that it's Anakin must destroy both the Sith and the Jedi in order for them to rebuild themselves, because they were both becoming corrupt.
Yeah. That really does illustrate how, as we see in this episode of Mortis and in toward the end of... it definitely illustrates that in Return of the Jedi, Anakin, like, upon sacrificing himself, destroys the Sith Order, and, like, he lets things start over on a clean slate.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's what balance really is for the Force. It's a clean slate.
Yeah, and then we're talking about foreshadowing, and the Father says stay on this path and you will do it again for the galaxy. That was a very important line in my eyes, anyways.
Oh yeah, that's what Misa's saying.
Because that's what we see in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This added so much weight, it's hard to believe.
Yeah, I think that it really does add a lot of weight to, like, Return of the Jedi. You know, I think now Anakin, I think now Anakin knows that in Return of the Jedi that he has to die, you know, along with Palpatine, for there to be balance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he would be the last of the Sith Lords, really.
Right.
It seemed like I just thought of something. You know about the dagger? Mm-hmm. You remember how it's passed along to Obi-Wan from the daughter? Mm-hmm. And you know how that's used, ultimately to bring an end to all of that? That makes me wonder if that is, you know, the ground level knowledge of the Force that the Jedi had, which after the Purge, Ben passed on to Luke. And Luke would carry on, on the clean slate that Anakin establishes.
Well, certainly interesting to think about.
Yeah, lots of symbolism.
Yeah, it's really just speculation, but I just can't help but wonder, though, that could be the case more or less. Like, if Luke has a place somewhere, or whatever.
I'd imagine so. When I first thought about this, when you first heard about it, before seeing it, I thought it was going to be like the son was going to echo Luke, and the daughter was going to echo Leia, and the father was going to echo Darth Vader, but it was kind of a far cry from that, but...
Yeah.
It was really pleasing, even more so than what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. Very.
We kind of touched on this, but we never really got into full detail about it. What did you guys think of, the future sequence?
Very interesting. I think it's... I liked how it definitely did... It foreshadowed what happened. I mean, there wasn't really much to interpret. I mean, it was pretty straightforward as far as, you know, visions go. But, you know, we got to see, an Emperor Palpatine. We got to see, you know, a Vader mask. And, you know, just the destruction of Alderaan. And that's, it's, like I said, it's pretty straightforward.
Like, one thing about this show is it really makes Anakin seem in Revenge of the Sith. But, you know, how just at the face value, from watching Revenge of the Sith, you think that Darth Vader became what he is out of some childish impulse.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, with everything we're seeing here, you're seeing that there's a lot more to him than all that.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching Revenge of the Sith the other day, and now seeing Clone Wars, I mean, I watched it before this episode aired, but even, you know, from the other episodes, it adds so much weight to the character of Anakin that it almost makes his fall, you know, somewhat unbelievable. How mature he is, and he's just almost a completely different character altogether.
Clone Wars really adds some new light to Anakin. I mean, when I was a kid, I was a real Anakin fan and Darth Vader fan, but as I grew up, I kind of realized that Anakin was kind of whiny, and then I see the Clone Wars, and it really brings a new dimension to Anakin and makes him that cool character he was to me back when I was younger, so.
Yeah, you know,
really great.
More of a person who you would believe is a dad, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he's a man who could be a dad.
he's responsible.
And I think one of the best things that the Clone Wars is going to do for us is it's going to make his fall seem more reasonable. I mean, there's definitely going to be a lot of dark things ahead. I mean, this is just the third season, and we don't know for sure how many there's going to be, so there might even be 7 seasons, but I know they're at least slated for 100, so
yeah,
there's going to be so much more darkness ahead of us, and one of these days we're going to see Ahsoka's fate, and I'm sure that's going to contribute to Anakin's fall.
Or is it?
Oh,
we don't even know if she's gonna die.
No, I'm not saying she's gonna die, but her fate. I mean, it's all either way. It's gonna be something heavy. She's just not gonna be like, oh, I'm gonna leave Anakin.
Well, yeah. She could be somewhere else in the Revenge of the Sith.
But anyway, I'm hoping that Dooku would be involved. It's just, you know, it's like you cut off your arm and you wanted revenge. Emphasis on the pause. And you wanted revenge. Hey, come on, what's revenge about a lost limb?
It was his favorite arm.
Yeah. Not as it's something more along the lines of the samurai, or whatever.
It seems as if that Anakin was following the Jedi code more than the actual Jedi were at the beginning of Episode 3, because they're all congratulating him for killing Count Dooku, but
well, they did.
He's the only one who actually questioned it. And then you have
Mace Windu
who wants to kill Palpatine, and Anakin says he should have a trial. So,
well, you know, I don't. Jedi are disregarding their own beliefs. Well, no Jedi saw the circumstances in which Dooku was killed. I think that's. Right. I think that. If they assume that he was, you know, killed, you know, spur of the moment, sort of, you know, like Obi-Wan or supposedly killed Maul, or, you know, how he killed Grievous or something, you know, that was necessary to ensure their own protection. But, yeah. I mean, this one was just like, when Anakin killed Dooku, I mean, that was just cold-blooded, and that was, I mean, that was totally against the Jedi code.
Although,
it's honest to me that Obi-Wan was angry at Darth Maul in Episode 1.
Well, I mean, how else was he supposed to escape? I mean, just fall down the pit?
Well, what, you're talking about Maul?
Obi-Wan. I don't think he could have escaped, you know, from Maul unless he killed.
You could tell he wanted to kill Darth Maul. He was definitely angry. Did you see the way his fighting style after he got out of the Ray shield, I guess.
He was fighting in rage, but then he ended up in the pit. Like, he did not see Darth Maul's hand coming to push him over.
Right.
But I think in the pit, you can tell that he calmed himself down. He put aside his rage, and that was when he suddenly realized that Qui-Gon's lightsaber was there. And so I guess maybe Maul took surprise at that. Like, he saw a change in his face. Because you remember there was a close-up.
Yeah,
and then Obi-Wan took that as the... Like, he was distracted. Up he went. Slash, down you go. And it's obvious he will be seen again.
Yeah.
But how, though?
Yeah, that's my question.
You know, I feel like Night Sister magic has something to do with it.
It's got to, okay? If Mace Windu can't survive, you know, a hand, you know, and then thrown off a building.
Well, after being, you know, shocked, like, as far as we know, he was dead already before he went out the window.
But Palpatine got the full blast of that, too.
Maybe Darth Maul escaped kind of the same way Luke escaped in Empire Strikes Back, because Mace Windu, there was a lot of traffic on Coruscant. Maybe he got hit by a speeder on his way down.
Or maybe he ended up down and Boba Fett was waiting for him.
He landed in Boba Fett's jail cell.
Oh, man.
All right, well,
I don't know if that, we see Boba Fett again. Well, that's just me.
All right, so closing thoughts on this episode. For me, it's definitely the strongest of this arc. I think it was a great way to foreshadow, you know, the events in Revenge of the Sith. I think they did it the best way that they could, and that's, you know, show a Force vision, you know, with some other stuff, with, you know, bringing balance to the Force. I think it takes what we saw in the Genndy series, you know, in Volume 2, and it pushes not only to Anakin's destiny, but, you know, the destiny of the Chosen One.
Yeah, you remember how in the Genndy series we were seeing the legend of Ghost Hand. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes.
He's fighting against the darkness to protect his community, but then, you know, it claims him, becomes a part of him, and then it consumes him.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the tip of the iceberg. You get to see there's a lot more to that. And it's like, as was said before, it's just making things start over on a clean slate.
Mm-hmm.
I loved all three of these episodes equally, but this one was truly amazing, and I really, really enjoy these episodes, and I hope to see more like them. Not like duplicates or anything, but I just... Something on the level of darkness and storytelling got out of these ones. This was just blown a lot of Clone Wars out of the water, and I loved all the Clone Wars episodes, and this one was just amazing.
Yeah. You know, I have a feeling like, you know, the darkness is not going to go away that much anytime soon. Because you know how there's the upcoming episode, Citadel, with Tarkin. We finally seen the war is in a shade of gray with heroes on both sides. But now, as was said, also said in the crawl, of Revenge of the Sith, evil is everywhere. And we're going to see Tarkin coming up. So we're going to see, I guess, the darker side of the Republic forces.
I'm so excited to see Tarkin.
Cerberus prison run by Trandoshans.
I know Ryan's excited for one particular character. Share who he is, Ryan.
It's Evan Pyle, who is... Filoni might have been interested in Plo Koon in episode when he first saw Phantom Menace. You know, who is that Jedi? I felt the same way about this Jedi. He's the short guy with the huge ears. I thought he was such an interesting character, and then I had no idea what happened to him. You know, he was not in any of the rest of the prequels, and now he's back, and I'm so excited.
I'm actually more excited, or I guess I wish I could be excited right now to see Yaddle, but we're not going to get Yaddle anytime soon, are we?
Well, speaking of Yaddle, you know, have you ever... thought that Evan Peele could have been a younger member of Yoda's species?
I actually kind of thought that, yeah.
Yeah, that was the first impression I got, too. I just couldn't help but think back
Your
on that.
Your skin greens over time.
But yeah, yeah, right next to the Yoda puppet, so it's an easy comparison.
You know, the height is similar, the ear size is similar, so, you know, yeah. You never know.
Yeah, maybe it was like a 200-year-old... compared to the 900-year-old Yoda.
Yeah.
But also, you know, speaking back on favorite prequel Jedi Council members, or Phantom Menace Council members, I always rather fascinated with the long-necked one. I forgot his name. But I really loved how he was portrayed in Robot Chicken.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah. I know there are a lot of people who know his name. I can't think of it.
That's what Wikipedia is for.
Yep.
Spencer, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me on Facebook. Like, as you said before, fun start. I'm known to post a few thoughts and comments here and there. Just leaving my mark on the community, really. And usually, look me up when High Adventure, Glenn Nelson, and the like. Like to see our collaborated works. And I think I can tell you, speaking of High Adventure, Mortis Trilogy actually brought forth inspiration for a new song. I could tell you that much.
Yes.
We were talking about a Qui-Gon song for the longest time, but I never got the right hang of it until I saw Overlords. And that was when I finally got down. I mean, I was on a trailer trip with a notebook and pencil. You saw the Overlords on TV. And I also watched Phantom Menace right after, too. So I guess that's the story on my side. But
cool. I look forward to hearing it. I haven't heard any of it yet, so
yeah.
It should be cool.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Qui-Gon Jinn is Glenn Nelson's favorite Jedi, as he has said before. So, it's just the...
All right. Well, you can find us on iTunes. Feel free to leave us a review. Your reviews really do help us grow as a show. You can find us on our home site, galacticvoyage.com. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/galaxyfanboy, Twitter at galaxyfanboy, and you can email us at galaxyfanboy@yahoo.com. Thank you.